You see up on the screen that we're literally getting near the end of this series that Jesus is countercultural. And so if you don't remember what countercultural is, I'll just say it really quick. It's against the norm. Now, my brother Jason and I have a grandfather named Norm. I used to think, oh, that's kind of rude, right? But it's against the norm. It's against the normal way of things. And Jesus was just flat out different. He's other than us. Yes, 100% man, but he's also 100% God, so he's totally different from us and yet was like us. And so that's just countercultural and mind-blowing in of itself. But he had these teachings about his kingdom that were really, really challenging for his original audience, and some 2,000 plus years later, still challenging for us. And so we're going to get right to it. I'm going to tell you that I am sore. Like, Friday and Saturday, I did a little bit of work in my yard. My friends have blessed us and put together a garden for us, these garden boxes, and we had to cut away sod, and there was a lot of work going on, and this friend of mine said, look, man, we could have got a sod cutter. I'm like, psh, sod cutter, I got a shovel. Come on. All right. Gosh, my hamstrings are barking. Have you ever gone to sleep and gone, please don't tighten up, please just let me sleep? Anybody besides me have that? Now, my wife didn't do anything to deserve what she got, but her calves would tighten up because she was pregnant. Like, babies, thank your mamas. They went through some stuff for you. And that, look, John, I love you. She remembers the pain, bro. Come on. It's good. Like a really bad thing you can forget about. That was really difficult. But the joy afterwards, probably like, oh, it was all worth it. And then they turned 13. Testify. All right. So here's the deal. We're going to talk about like some gardening today and some agricultural realities. It's not because I kind of helped put in a garden. I am not a gardener all of a sudden. I don't even want to try and pretend, but I do understand a little bit about what I'm going to say here because there's a biblical precedent for it. And Jesus grew up in an agricultural community. Now, we used to be really agricultural out here, and America used to have a ton of that. Now, they pay farmers generally not to farm, which is just nuts, and we could argue about that, and we won't. So, all right. But countercultural, Jesus says, love your neighbor and love your enemy. Hey, do things for people who can't do things for you. Hey, don't treat people the way you want to be treated. There's an easy one, right? Or excuse me, do treat people the way you want to be treated. That's my teaching. I'm going to give you that. But and I could tell you all about my children, and I could tell you about my friends, and I could tell you about people in this community that treat people the way they've been treated, but I'll just tell you about me. You ever been cut off in traffic? My first thought when I'm in a car with anybody that I love, gosh, forget it. That makes it sound like I'm trying to be all strong. When I get cut off and I'm all by myself, my first thought isn't, they must be in a hurry. Their lives must be at stake. I hope they get to the hospital to see their dying loved one. My first thought is, I wonder if you can off-road. I mean, if it's not my first thought, it's in there, right? I get to thinking like, And I wish it was just stuff like that. How about when you're having like a really, really rough week and you just want one thing to go your way? And you got the reverse of the Midas touch that week. Everything doesn't turn to gold. It turns to fertilizer. And that was kind of my week. And I have been blessed, and I have a great life. But it's been hard. And I didn't want it to be hard. I didn't want fertilizer. I wanted sunshine. And maybe you can feel me on that. Maybe it's something that you, yeah, I've had weeks like that. Or, yeah, I'm having a week like that. Or, oh, kind of sucks to be you. A little bit. But today I wanted to talk to you about a teaching that's so countercultural because we actually understand it and we hope that it means something else. And it is what it is. You know that phrase? Well, we're going to talk about this. It's called source and product. What do you think of when you think, or when you see this? What does this mean to you, source and product? Yeah, Darlene. Say it again. Oh, gosh, that's amazing. Good. Cow and milk. And I mean, it makes you maybe not want the milk when you think about the cows a little bit, right? But I mean, good cows, good milk. All right, cool. That's good. Anybody else? Gardener produce. Good. See you. You're reading ahead. What's going on? All right. Yeah, Brady. So good, man. You don't become an NFL star without training. Go ahead, preacher. You want the mic? Here you go. Come on up, man. No? Yeah.
Sleep and thankfulness.
Amen. Sleep and thankfulness. That'll preach. Okay, nice. All right, so I'm a baseball coach, and I love baseball. We've had a really rough season, and on Thursday, it had dumped so much rain that we couldn't play this game that we were going to play. And so we did a thing called, and Josiah's on the team, so he's up there thinking, let me just say it real. The team did a bucket brigade to get the lake that was our infield to be cleared of water. If you don't know much about what the weather was like for us this week, Thursday night, Friday, early morning, all day, like Friday until probably about noon, it dumped. And that lake filled right back in after these guys had taken all of the water. I mean, it was worse, actually. It got me to thinking about a story I read a few weeks ago that there was a team, I think it was in New Jersey. I don't want to dismiss New Jersey, but some of it's gross, some of it's nice. But these guys were so tired of the rain on their field that one guy said, I got an idea. Let's put a little gas on the infield and burn away the water and dry the thing up a little bit. And you know what? It worked. Now it charred the ground and, oh yeah, it contaminated the ground. And they couldn't play baseball on that field for the rest of this year because they had to take out the contaminated dirt. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that in this community that hasn't been thought about. I'm not even trying to tell you that not too many years ago, people would be like, so it smells like gas, deal with it, play ball, right? I mean, but not anymore, because they understand that contaminated ground makes people sick. And source and product, you could go root and fruit if you want. Or, like I like to think, I see my kids, and they'll do some things that kind of are cringy sometimes. And I go, tree, apple. I know where they get it, and it's usually Kathy. Not true. But look, we have some really, like, amazing ideas about who we are and that we're generally, even though we do some bad things, that we're generally pretty good. And Jesus, teaching in his kingdom, and please join me in this kingdom teaching in Luke 6, 43 through 45. If you don't have a Bible, we have tons around you. Underneath the seats in front of you, we have it up on the screen. Some of you have it on your phone. Some of you have it on a tablet. Go for it. But Luke 6, 43 through 46, or 45 rather, he teaches about source and product. This comes off this teaching where he's like, look, don't be judgmental. Don't be condemning. Now you can assess things and you can see what's going on. Like those people that saw the field, they assessed it and they judged in a proper way. It's wet. Then they judged improperly on how to fix it. And we got some issues that need fixing, and Jesus is straight up about this. And on this great time of Holy Week, as a lot of people will call it, where we're on Palm Sunday and we recognize Jesus is Hosanna. He is the Lord that saves. Listen up, y'all. He has to save us from something. It's not just that he saves. What does he save us from? Check it out. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor grapes picked from a bramble bush. I'm not exactly sure what a bramble bush is, but I know that grapes aren't grown there. And I've only seen one fig tree, and it didn't look like the thorn bushes that encroach upon your property. I'm going to take your word for it. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of the evil treasure, his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Whew, can we just get right to it? One question for you. Is mankind basically good or basically evil? And don't get churchy. I mean, get biblical. But what do you think? Is mankind basically good or basically evil? We're basically good?
Evil, evil, like the fruit of the devil.
We're not just evil, we're terrible. Who was that? Was that balcony talk up there? Hi, Reed. Did somebody make you do something you didn't want to do? That's pretty normal. Look, make me look good in front of people. Hey.
Yes.
So yes, John says yes, we're basically good and basically evil. So we're made in the image of God. He's not evil. So then we must be good, right? Then why did Jesus die on the cross? So we're born of Adam. So start out good. Can I get at you with this? Our original nature was good. We were made in the image of God. Everything was as it should be. And then sin entered the story. And death. We have this idea, and honestly, Socrates, who I haven't done a ton of study on, but I read some stuff from him this week. And I have a little bit of notes that were typed out, and then I added some stuff. That intellectual giant Socrates taught this sort of thing. Sin is a matter of not knowing better, not something that proceeds from the core of your being. And that makes it easier, doesn't it? It's not like a root problem. It's a fruit problem. It's not the source, it's the produce. I told you that my brother and I have a grandpa named Normie. He lives down in Arizona. And I went down there to help them a little bit. And we're driving, and I saw the biggest oranges, and I thought, oh, those must be grapefruits. I said, hey, Grandpa, is that a grapefruit? And he goes, no, that's an orange, Aaron. I'm like, there's so many of them. I said, can you actually just go and take them? He goes, well, I mean, you probably won't get in trouble. I'm like, what do you mean probably? Can I grab those? And he's like, well, give it a shot. And I'm like, I don't know if I trust you. And he's like, give it a shot. And so I'm like, okay, jump out, twist, it's heavy. I go, hey, can we peel it? And he goes, yeah, or wait till we get home, we can cut it. I'm like, yeah, all right, we'll cut it when we get home. Get there, and he cuts it, and it's like dry and nasty inside. It was basically ornamental. But it looked really good on the outside. Was it just something with what happened in the air? Or was it the tree itself? It's the tree. It produces that kind of stuff. Maybe some people would eat it. I've never starved. If I have, I don't remember it. I have said, I'm starving. Gosh, that's dumb to say that. How many of us literally have or are? Some have. Some with issues. But generally, we say stuff like that. And it actually comes from the heart of who we are. We forget, as John pointed out earlier. So I want to read to you something out of Romans 3, 10 through 18. And for some of you, you're like, hey, man, this is why church is so lame to go to. They just talk about bad stuff all the time. I really don't, but I don't ignore it either. And after having just struggles this week, not only in my own heart and in my own family, but in my own community, and just the pain of death and the pain of sin and being sons of Adam, which goes back to saying loved by God, but we've been given free will, and that free will in his love, we've chosen a bunch of nasty. And we didn't just step into it and get a little bit on our feet. We actually were born with a sin nature. So check this out, Romans 3, 10 through 18. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We'll go a little bit later in the book of Romans to Romans 7. And this guy Paul, who was a murderer of Christians, and he was doing so in the name of Yahweh, he believed that what he was doing was right. And God really got his attention. This huge beam of light, and God is the source of light, knocks him off this horse. He's all blinded up, and he's like, what's going on? And he goes, Saul, Saul, stop persecuting me. And that was Paul's name before. It was Saul. And he said, but who are you? And he says, I'm the Lord Jesus. And it was like, ruh-roh, I've been doing wrong by you. And he literally broke through the normal way of things and said, you need to get up, be led, because he was blinded by that light, into this town. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen next. And holy smokes, you guys. What happened next is that this man knew that all that he was doing was saying Jesus wasn't the Messiah was wrong, and he repented of it. And he's like, you're the Messiah. You're who I've been bragging about that was to come has already come. You are the risen Savior. And then he wrote most of what we understand as the New Testament. And part of what he wrote after he came to Christ was in Romans 7. And I'm going to go 7:24 through 8:2. But I want you to know that what he said before is that what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. And then he says this in 7:24. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He's like, what am I going to do? I want to do good, but the evil's just right there all the time. This is bad news. This is produce of a bad tree. Verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. I've got some problems. I get that I need God, but my body pimps me out. My lusts, my attractions, my addictions are a mess. What am I going to do? He says, well, praise God for Jesus. And then this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wait a minute. There's hope? There's hope for the person who's born evil. There's hope for the tree, if you will, that's jacked up and wrong and produces bad fruit. Yeah, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. There is a law of sin and death. You sin, you die. You'll be separated from God forever. Oh, we're getting close to Easter. He can't say all this stuff on Easter, so he's got to get it out before. Oh, no, friends. This is the good news, but it's bad news to begin with. We're a mess, and we can't fix ourselves. We're that ornamental fruit. You might look all right sometimes. I love you enough to say the answer to the question, are we basically good or basically evil, is on our base, apart from Jesus, we are already condemned and we're evil. And we might clean it up, do some nice things. Not as evil as she is. Gosh, did you see that combination? Oh my. Those shoes, that outfit plays. It's so much more than that. We're sin sick and we need help. So do you need some good news? I do. His name is Jesus. When I first came to Christ, one of the things that I couldn't believe is that God wouldn't hold all my stuff against me. I didn't even remember all the stuff that I did, but I knew God did. But the things I could remember that were just dirty and wrong, and just the thoughts that I had and the anger that I had and the why me and the woe is me and all of that, I was like, how could God forgive all that? Why would he? And then I know that nobody's perfect, so we're going to make more mistakes. And I didn't think I could learn enough to not make those mistakes. And so I heard this verse, and it actually helped me have some faith. We can go to 2 Corinthians 5, and I'll go 17 through 21, but 17 was the first one that really stood out to me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Look, we don't hear in Jesus' sermon on the plain or sermon on the mount that this is how trees get made good. He just says flat out, bad trees, bad fruit. Good trees, good fruit. How do we change a tree? Jesus. You're in Christ, you're new. The old has passed away. The new has come. But it doesn't just stop there. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, paid for us, bought us back. Jesus died. Hosanna, the Lord saves. Baby, you have no idea what you just said out your mouth when you say the Lord saves. He doesn't just do good parlor tricks. He doesn't just heal the sick. He doesn't just cast out demons. He's preaching good news. And that good news is your sin doesn't have to be held against you anymore. Jesus saves. And he wants us to be right. Not smarter than the people on the left, smarter than the people on the right, but righteous. Good. Like set free. Good fruit now. And here he goes. Don't keep it to yourself. You got a ministry of reconciliation. Now you get to live like it. Now you get to drive like it. You're like, hold on, where's that in the Bible? All right, good, all right. Seriously, you get to not get your way and still be a good, nice person. Or you get to just be straight up, look, daddy's not having a good day right now. You might want to not be so loud. You may want to, don't go there, is that what you said? Amen, don't poke the bear, especially when he works like graveyard shift. But you guys, it's like we have this ministry of reconciliation. We've been given this gift that, hey, I know how bad can get good, and it isn't your actions. It's this great transformation that Jesus does, and then you live it out. You work with him on that. You follow him. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses or sins against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we're ambassadors, we're spokesmen for the King, Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Be made new. For our sake, God made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We can be made new. But it's not the same old, same old. You know what? I'll just stop doing that. Look, sin messes with us. It kills us. It's not what God wanted for us, and he paid the price. So you can be made new. John the Baptist, preaching all kinds of great sermons. He says to this group of people that come to see him, and we've already gone through this in Luke 3, but he says to them, look, who warned you, you brood of vipers? You big ball of snakes? Keep bearing fruit of repentance. Like, you've been set free, you know the truth, live it out. Well, we can't do it on our own. Good news, God never intended for you and I to do it on our own. He does it in us and through us. I want to encourage you with this, and we'll have to finish on this. But if you want to be made new, it's Jesus. You want to live new, focus on Jesus. Look, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the time for me. I don't think I get paid more the more I say Jesus. I don't think, well, the more you say the name Jesus, the better you feel. Okay, cool, I like that, but that's not why I say his name. I say his name because there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There's no other name that changes people. There's no other power that gives you the ability to get over yourself, your past and your present and your future. He and he alone. That's why I've got to make a big deal out of him. We don't have no hope apart from him. Anybody try to kick a sin habit? Well, I don't do that anymore. Cool, how's your thought life? Oh, man, you had to bring that up. You're cool at church, but how do you act at home? How do you act at work? Well, you don't know me. I've had a rough go, man. Okay. You need help? Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's go back to the book of Romans, and we'll finish with this. Romans 11, 33. Through Romans 12, too. Oh, my goodness. It wasn't too long ago that we looked at this. You got contaminated ground. It contaminates the foliage. It contaminates the trees, the bushes, the flowers, and it contaminates the fruit. You fix a contaminated soil, it grows positive and good and productive fruit. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. You can't scrutinize him. Look, God, I wouldn't do it that way. Look, human, I am God. He's not a jerk, but he doesn't do what I want him to do. Okay. Maybe you need something different than what you thought. Or maybe what you were hoping for is coming later. Maybe the chapter that's being written right now isn't the last chapter. Gosh, I just read something this week where this guy says everybody loves stories to some degree or another. We'll line up, and pretty soon, what is it? When does the Avengers movie come out? Y'all took a while, though. I was like, in your mind, you're like, oh, he's going to say, see? No, I was literally like, we know it's coming out. And when is April 26th? You don't know? A couple Fridays from now. Okay? And people have already sold out. We love stories is what I'm getting at. And it's okay. But we love the ending and when it's good. Friends, let me tell you something about the story Jesus is writing. It never ends and it's always good. Do you feel that? Because if not, he loves you and he is not done with you. You're still breathing. You have a chance. I don't know where you're at, but he does, and he's talking to you right now. He cannot be scrutinized, although we will. We'll blame him. We'll say, what, why, when? Trust him. He's the one that makes all things new, not your 12-step program, not your amazing wife, not your job where you're finally bringing in the money you deserve so you can spend it your way. Look, it's not us, it's him. So, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who's been his counselor? Or who's given a gift to him that he might be repaid? Oh, man, I owe you one, said God never to anybody. But he's given us life. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, family, brothers, sisters, I appeal to you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, day by day, giving yourself over to him, which is your spiritual worship. It's a reasonable act of worship that you would live for him, that now your fruit, the produce, would come from this new source, Jesus, and it would be good. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't try to go back to the bad fruit. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, would you say testing with me? Testing. We don't like testing. But by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I'll finish with this. Good source equals good product. God, you're the source. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are Zoe. You are the source of life itself. Any of us trying to find life apart from you will not find life. We will find death. And those of us who are in you, even though we die, yet shall we live. I mean, Lord, this seems so simple. But it's hard because we take our eyes off of you. We try to fix stuff on our own. And it's seriously like those people pouring gas on an infield. It not only didn't fix it, it made it worse. And yet, even through all of our bad fruit, bad conclusions, you've given us a chance to be made new. In you, Jesus, we have life. I confess to you that I need you. I confess to you that my family needs you. I confess to you that this whole world needs you. But I don't get to confess for all of them. I just get to confess for me. So I pray that they wouldn't just confess they need you. They would humble themselves and come to you and live for you. God, that we would see this great fruit and this great transformation, this great renewal that comes from your Holy Spirit. God, I love you so much. I can say that today because you love me first and you've never left me nor forsaken me. You've never left anybody nor forsaken them. But we are condemned if we're apart from you. We're not condemned if we're in you. God, may we get to that point where we confess. You are God and we are not. Have your way in us. Protect us from the enemy who wants to separate us from you, from our flesh that just cries out for everything but you in this world who thinks they can figure it out one more time without you. That will not work. Thank you for being faithful to love us and forgive us and to fill us up that we would be people who produce not for saving, but produce because we're saved. We're made good by you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.